Okay. So. Welcome, everybody. It's Wednesday, January 14th, 3:11 p.m. And this is, we have a quorum because we have Lisa and Morel and me. Okay. And we're here to do a discussion of policy revisions.
So let's start with the easiest ones. So it's the second page behind your agenda. And what we've done is we sent all our policy manual to the lawyer, and she got back with us, and she wrote a brand new procedure for us about the disposal of personal identifying information. And she even wrote the resolution for the board.
Oh, awesome.
So, but if you look on the back of the copy, it says Exhibit A, and that's the policy regarding the disposal of data containing personal identifying information. So this is the policy. It's brand new.
Not even in our
book. And so this is something that you guys will need to give a yay or nay on at the board meeting. And I sort of feel like since she wrote it for us,
it needs to be approved.
You know, I don't think we would have a lot of changes to make to it. Mm-hmm. So, and most of this we don't collect. We don't collect social security numbers. We don't even collect driver's license numbers. We do for employees, but not for constituents or trustees or we do also for contractors, but right. This just says what we're going to do with everything.
My question is, like your personnel records, mm-hmm. does this cover personnel records also?
It would.
And is there not something that says like their files have to be kept so many years?
Yeah, we have a separate document that talks about how long we're supposed to keep that.
That answers.
Yeah. Okay. So, any questions or concerns about this new policy? So we're just going to cut and paste this whole copy straight into our policy. Okay. And then the next page in your packet is the meeting and conference room policy. Let's put this away when we get to that, going through the whole book. And so we're going to start with this. You guys have your electronic versions on your laptops, and then we've got the copies. We tried to make this so it's as visible as possible. We're going to be starting where the lawyer's comments start, and she doesn't really start changing things significantly. On page 4, she just we had daily fines and capital, and she just changed that to lowercase. So that's no big deal there. If you look at page 5 under our collection development policy, under responsibility for selection, she added that whole paragraph, or pardon me, sentence, selection of materials does not constitute or imply library district or staff agreement with or approval of the content, viewpoint, implication, or presentation of selected materials, which I think is a really good addition mm-hmm. to this
yep,
document.
Yes, for sure.
And then moving on to page 10, it has more changes there. So this was the reconsideration of library resources, that was the new law that went into effect. Was it last year or was it longer than last year? I think it was last year. So she omitted this sentence here. The library branch manager or the director will begin by engaging the library patron in a conversation about their concerns. If these concerns cannot be addressed by the conversation, then. That's really the only part of the law or that of our policy that is not law, that sentence that says that we engage the patron in a conversation.
And why even encourage the engagement in a conversation?
But it is the most important thing that we do.
Okay.
Because so many times we can redirect the entire situation if we just have a conversation with them about whatever it is that they're concerned about. So so in this case, I don't agree with the lawyer removing that. I don't know how to deal with this because she's saying remove it because it's not the law, basically. So,
but you could still do it. You just don't, it doesn't have to be in the manual that requires you to do
it. Well, I also think that some of my understanding from working policy in the past is you have to meet the basics of the law, but
right.
If you go further than the law, it's okay. Right. But you have to hit the minimum of the law. So that to me says we're going to take it one step farther and we're going to have a conversation first. So to me, I think we're still okay because we're meeting the law in the rest of it. Right. But we're
Absolutely.
So we're meeting the law, but we're adding an additional piece. We're not taking away from the law.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could you change the word will to may? The director may begin by engaging.
We could. Yeah. But it's because that's.
I would get rid of it.
You would get rid of the whole sentence.
I would. If the attorney says there's a reason she's saying that, that doesn't mean that you cannot still engage. It's like
then I think we're not stating, because then somebody could say, well, I questioned this book and they just talked to me. They didn't do these steps. So if we make that I think it spells it out more clearly for the public. What to expect.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the most recent situation, we had a staff member who bypassed this conversation, and we didn't really need to go through our whole process. If we had just had a conversation with a patron, we could have explained, you know, why this item was in our collection, even though, you know,
they didn't agree
with it. But instead, you know, I don't know.
Just got the request for reconsideration form and did that whole process. So it was a lot of time and energy spent.
That once you had the conversation.
But if you'd had the conversation first, we wouldn't have necessarily had the form and needed to do that whole process.
I'm not opposed to y'all having the conversation. Yeah. I just don't think that it should be here
in the policy.
Yeah.
But then that's confusing because, I mean, if somebody looks at the policy, they don't know what to expect. I mean, they would expect to receive the form, whereas we would expect to have a conversation.
So is this a public document?
It is a public document.
And it's
on our website. And it's also a legal document. And that's why we
I kind of go along with Morel saying that if the attorney says don't put it in, don't put it in.
But we could add it as a procedural piece versus a policy piece.
Exactly.
Because there's a lot of procedures that are in addition to policy.
And it's something you could go over when you have your staff luncheon in April and just say.
Because we'll have to go through this whole
thing. You'll go through this and say, we encourage that we do this. Right. Even though it's not stated in the manual. Yeah. It's our expectation of you to do that.
Right. Right.
The policy reads this, but our procedure is.
Right. And we've said that every year, too, that we want this conversation, you know. So
it's really an important piece.
It is.
The conversation is really.
Yeah.
Because they most of the time they just want to be heard.
So we put it in our procedure. Okay. Then the next one, if the patron is not satisfied with this response, he or she may appeal the initial decision. Okay. And then that's.
Seems that's when they come to us.
And then the written request for reconsideration of a library resource is not a library user record as described in CRS 2491-19. What does she say? I have generally have not seen these committees, including a majority of the trustees. She changed there's more that she changed in here. The committee will consist of two members of the library board appointed by the board president and one staff member appointed by the director. Yeah, so this, I mean, I think this is still fine. Okay. the board will say that they that the appropriate process was followed, not that the merit of the material and its place in the collection. Okay.
And I think that other one that they added, I'm sorry, I was checking, I hadn't used.
Yes.
The member of the community.
Yeah.
When that is so important, because I have seen people over the years inundate just to cause.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Okay. So then the electronic resources and the internet use policy, this really dates me, but this law came out like when I was just a brand new baby librarian. So she's just taking out some things about our filter, which I'm fine with that. And then she also adds that patrons age 17 and older may request temporary removal of the internet filter. And that is part of the law. So that's something that they're supposed to be able to do. So we will definitely include that. She says Colorado law requires temporary removal of a filter upon request. I don't think we've ever had anybody request it.
And I wouldn't even know how to take it off.
We have a password.
Yeah, so it would be something we'd want to make available to our leads for sure.
Right.
And you know.
Yeah. So, and then she added more of a definition of disruptive content, which is helpful to have. So I don't have any problems with adding that. Under at the bottom of page 11, that definition of disruptive content. And on page 12, she got rid of the statement under the disclaimer, which it's the responsibility of the parent or legal guardian to supervise or restrict their child's access to the internet. And I agree with that. And then in our social media policy, which is pretty new, I think we just wrote this last year, she added consistently, which is looks good too. Individuals consistently contributing posts.
So we're not gonna ban them for a one-shot deal.
Right, right.
They just lost their temper for a moment.
Right, right. And then she had more changes in our web accessibility policy, which is pretty new too. I think that was, we just put it in last year as well. So she changed that to users of all abilities. And including but not limited to our website. So she made some good changes through here. She took out our disclaimer. All content has to be accessible. So that doesn't apply, that statement we had in there earlier. So that's good to know. And then she's got the district compliance officer. She just changes the word library to district compliance officer. And this is one time where we have a specific person in the policy. Just so that they have a content.
And who is that?
Matt. Yeah. Okay. Budget policies. Under the Tabor Amendment, the budget will contain a line item, including the 3% Tabor Reserve, which is something that we always do. It's weird because to me, the two sentences are pretty similar, but it just clarifies that we will put that in the budget. And then that you guys will adopt our budget in accordance with Colorado law. We hope so. And then you guys approve any amendments in accordance with law. And then she said, she changed it. We've never done this before, where the director or the board treasurer is authorized to transfer an excess amount over $100,000 into another eligible existing cash account. I don't do that myself typically. I bring it to you guys. I just don't want to I don't want to do that. So, and then under purchasing, so the threshold under Colorado law is $120,000. I think we used to have like only $5,000, but then we upped it to $25,000.
Right.
But honestly, I'm happy with $25,000. I don't see that I need a higher threshold, but if you guys want to make a higher threshold, that's fine too. It's just that I have to.
I think that's something we need to talk about at a trustees meeting.
You want to talk more about it?
Okay. Do we want to talk? Don't you think? Otherwise, you've got to show up if she writes anything bigger than that. I mean, I'm being honest.
Yeah. The only thing I can see happening is if we ever get off the base and start doing construction, then I can see big numbers happen.
Shall we leave it like this until we start construction?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we can also, because this is going to come to you guys again at the board meeting. Okay. So if you want to.
We can talk about it. Yeah. But
I'm just happy to leave it at 25,000. Well, you've gone through this a lot faster than we anticipated.
I'm glad.
You guys are always that way. You guys are efficient.
So then they mentioned the $25,000 again. And then she just clarifies that it's the board treasurer, not just the plain treasurer. So that's cool. She adds that under check signing. And that's the other thing is that we have two signatures on every check anyway. So if I'm, it's not just me. Okay. Cash receipts. All monies collected will be recorded at the end of each business day. We're on page 16.
Yeah, I see it. Yeah.
And then the branch manager will complete a monthly deposit form and submit to the financial administrative assistant at least once a month. Okay.
Is that the way you guys are doing it now? Mm-hmm. Okay. And no issues.
Yeah. And then under investment policy, she just takes out that first, the first sentence, which seems fine to me. It's just how we're investing our funds in a manner that will maximize our security. Okay. And she's just correcting the way we talk about the CRS. She put periods after C, period R, period S, and then the, what is that called?
Happersham.
Is that the, okay. So she's just correcting the way we're referring to the laws. And then on page 18, under Foundation and Friends of the Library, I did not even realize that the policy says that we don't really shall encourage and support the establishment of a foundation. Well, we really already have a foundation. So we can take out, we can correct this part. So we can say, the Board of Trustees, shall encourage and support a foundation or the foundation. Just take out the foundation. So take out the establishment of a.
Yep, I think so.
And so I may check back with her again about this if we need to add some more here.
It seems to be okay to me because I'm like, if we didn't have a foundation, then we would want to encourage a foundation. But we already have one, and now we're going to support it.
Yeah,
and I think all you have to take out is that establishment of a. Just leave it just like it shall encourage and support the foundation, as well as branch-specific Friends of the Library, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
Then the foundation and friends support quality library service. one or more members to the foundation appointed.
We typically do.
Yeah,
two.
We had done.
Yeah, two.
Between the board of trustees of the foundation. Okay. Yeah, okay. I think it's fine.
Okay. And then under meeting and conference room policy. Okay, so this is where things get a little tricky. So now you're going to need two documents to look at. You're going to need the document that we have in your packet, as well as the document that the lawyer reviewed. So she is saying to get rid of the first two sentences about what we provide. She says she suggests removing the first two sentences as unnecessary and potentially limiting. So, okay, that's okay.
We are potentially limited.
We are.
Three out of four. Right.
So we're going to remove this. And then, so there's no changes on the handout. This is the reason that we have this handout is because we've just added these cameras. There's a camera you can see through the door there. And there's a camera out in the vestibule there. And we also added a keypad so that this room can be used when the library is closed.
Oh, how good.
That's
awesome.
So, yeah, Sarah pulled that off like magic before the end of last year.
Congratulations, thank you. Sarah. Thank you for doing that.
I went to Virginia for a week and came
back. And boom, there was a whole system.
Cool. That opens up holidays and Sundays and things, and maybe later events.
Yeah, things like baby showers and things like
that. You know, or church group or whatever.
So, I mean, it's still limited to 31 people in this room, but it still is better. So that's the reason that we have this separate little piece of paper. Okay, so we don't have any changes in the first part. So I'm going to just keep looking at the big fat document. The lawyer added the reference to Colorado Revised Statute 13-20-1201. Because we have to specifically say that we're not operating or managing a youth-related activity. And then...
What page is this on now?
This is on page 19. On the back.
Okay.
Of where I was looking to.
I found it. Sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. And then she just changes the wording first come, first served basis. I don't really know why that is.
It's she's hyphenated, right?
That's all she did is hyphenated.
Okay, she hyphenated it then. Okay. And then page 20, that's a very good addition to meeting room attendees. Patrons using the meeting room and conference room shall adhere to the patron rules of conduct at all times. So that's a good addition. And then she added priority and scheduling, and then another hyphen, library-related meetings and functions. Okay. And then either party's performance under this policy is subject to acts of God or declared or undeclared government regulation, terrorism, disaster, strikes, blah, blah, blah. So she thinks that that's more appropriate than in a written agreement than a policy. And but are we actually using, does anyone ever fill out the form?
No.
Yeah. That was what I was afraid of.
They always just call and reserve.
We just call and reserve, but we don't make them fill out forms.
Yeah. She's like kind of assuming that we are...
Which we're not.
So should it just be deleted from the manual? Or let me ask you this. Do you believe down the road you would start doing that?
I don't know. Because if we do that software, could that be part of their agreement when they book the room?
Possibly. I'll have to check into it.
Okay.
But possibly.
Okay. And then the whole part that she highlights about overview of the Pines and Plains Library's meeting room, that's where I started to change things because under equipment, Well, actually, hours available, I added see after hours policy for more information. And then I changed our equipment to 15 flip-top tables. It's technically been super easy to have 15 on here because plus you can't fit 15. But it's two people per table and the room only holds 31. And so I changed it to 31 rolling chairs, whiteboard, mounted projector, which is up there, pull-down projector screen, mounted flat screen television and wireless internet. And then the room does not include sound equipment, but it will.
Yeah, it right will. After we change this policy. Right,
as soon as we change the policy.
It will appear.
It's going to include that. So I guess this is all stuff we put in the software.
I would think so. I don't know why it needs to be in our handbook. Do you, Ruthann? Or Lisa? What do you think?
About which one?
About
the details.
Yeah, the details for renting. The
overview part. This whole thing. I don't think it.
That's in red? No, I think it can go out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it can be left.
Okay. So, and then in the separate little handout about the meeting room piece, we've added the after hours meeting room fees, which are like twice what the regular fees are if you are a profit making group or individual or a business. So we just, because it is after hours and we have to do extra stuff, it was $15 an hour for the regular. No, $5. $5 an hour.
No, it was 15.
$15.
So we doubled the price.
I haven't seen that little room. Where is that little room?
It's over in the children's. So we upped that. Basically, pretty much everything is the same. We're still telling people to fill out a reservation form. So maybe again, this is more procedure than policy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think so.
Because if we get a new calendar system, you could potentially book online. Okay. So.
Great. So that was fast. Guys are just zipping through this. We're picking confidentiality. We just took out the in accordance with state and federal law. Changed our subject verb agreement. And she took out library system. And then she took out number 3 because that's more talking about the offense, not really applying directly to what happens in the library. That's my guess. And then staff members are not allowed to reveal library card information to anyone other than the registered patron unless a legal exception applies. For youths under the age of 18, parent or guardian may be provided information regarding checked out materials if the purpose is to pay for fines or recover missing materials, as this is necessary for the reasonable operation of the library. Okay. And then she took out parent or guardian must present the use card. And she suggests that we develop a form for law enforcement to complete when requesting patron information. Usually we're not getting a subpoena.
Right, because given we have, and it has to be special kind of subpoena.
Right, and that's the next section, and look at a little bit on that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. Well, at least the attorney's doing it. We're not.
Right. So, so she's completely revamped this section. So she made it specific. Okay. Just so that number one is that we're applying, you know, applies to the law, ALA policy, Colorado Association of Libraries statement.
One, it's also, that one's relating to what, like your cameras even.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so you're aware of that as you read it.
Yeah.
Because it says video for footage relating to patrons, right. Use of the library.
And then she specifically says that law enforcement officers are allowed entry, but may not enter non-public areas to perform immigration enforcement activities without a subpoena, court order, or warrant. And then... Okay. So she's pretty much redoing this whole section and making it specific to immigration, because we were trying to leave it all general.
And why did she feel like it was necessary to become that specific?
Because it's because timely. The law is specific to that. And she moved, I guess she changed what we had as number two. She just upped it into the part above it. Personal identifying information. So the director may not disclose patron information unless there is a written consent from the patron or parent or legal guardian of a minor patron, or unless served with subpoena, court order, or warrant issued by a federal judge or magistrate. The director will promptly contact the individual who is the subject of any immigration information request.
See, in that one, that's interesting to me.
Yeah.
It means that if they come in with a subpoena, you give them the information. You have to contact that patron.
Right. Yeah. I have to let them know.
That's if the data that we have is even accurate. Right. They don't always keep, they change stuff and they don't think, oh, call the library, update my information.
Then she just changed our wording under animals in library buildings. Yeah, that's all she did. And reports and postings and handouts. Limited space is made available without regard for content. And so on. And she took out policies in that last line there. So that's a good change to number one, Library District or Friends Foundation Group. She took out local nonprofits. Oh, I guess that's covered under local nonprofit. Yeah, so it's duplicate. And then she took out the comma. All materials must be dated and will be removed. Okay, that's fine. Items on display do not imply endorsement. That's good. And here, this is where the biggest change comes under photography, videography, and recording by district staff. District staff will make reasonable effort to notify members of the public when photography, videography, and recording are taking place. And signs with crowd releasing language will be posted at library events where district photography, videography, and our recording occurs.
That makes me think, since you have cameras now in here, do you have to put notice at a door or anything before patrons come in?
We probably do.
Okay. I was just thinking about that.
Yeah.
What does crowd release language mean?
So that means that they are saying, it's like if by attending this event, you agree to be photographed.
The news cameras are coming.
Yeah. Or we're taking photos that we want to share on Facebook or something for the purpose of sharing our, you know, what's happening at our libraries.
So in the top of page 24, she says to ensure the privacy of all individuals that cannot be used without express written approval from the subject, or if a minor, the parent, or legal guardian. So basically, I think Kristen, was it you? No, it was Sherry that was talking about like adding more photographs to the newsletter.
Putting hearts over
and putting faces. Hearts over faces. So you would see that people were there.
Yeah, but just not faces.
But just
are we talking faces. About just children or everyone?
I think we probably have to do it with everyone based on this. Because she's saying consent must be obtained before using a person's image.
Mm-hmm. So if we want to get, will we have forms like, for instance, if you know,
consent forms?
Yeah. So I'm just thinking like with our story time, we have pretty much the same group every week. Yeah. And I could get consent forms, and then we can actually post pictures if they consent.
Right.
So it'd be nice to actually have a written consent form that we can, you know, scan and put on file.
Do we have a form? I thought we had a form.
We probably do somewhere in all our goodies.
Okay. And then rules of conduct, patron rules of conduct, page 24. Just some general changes. Library staff shall apply these rules in a fair, dignified, and positive manner. The following list provides activities that are not permitted within the library. And then we say it's not an all-inclusive list of prohibited activities. So she didn't, that's good that she didn't take that part out. So soliciting and campaigning outside of designated areas. And I thought we had a separate part that we had added to this. So we'll have to see what she says.
Was that very okay?
Let me get to that. I'm not seeing it now. Okay. And then removal, theft of library property. Using recreational equipment inside library facilities, that's all good. Playing of loud or repetitive audio equipment so that others are distracted. Okay. I'm seeing problems with that. Okay.
And I'm being silly, but this is just the comment, not wearing shoes and a shirt. I could just see somebody coming in with shoes and a shirt on and nothing in the bottom.
Oh, jeez.
I'm just, there would be.
How about fully clothed?
But it's in your policy.
Right.
Oh.
I mean, how awful.
Your mind goes wow.
So
it's always been no shirt, no shoes, no right, service type of thing.
It's a health.
Yeah,
but I can see maybe. I had a guy come in with no shoes last summer.
Mm-hmm.
No. Do you have any suggestions on how to change?
I don't know what to
say. I mean, I can.
How about fully clothed?
That's
shirt and shoes.
That's where I was at. I was thinking the same thing.
No shoes, no nothing. I mean, crying.
But I can imagine a baby coming in the library in just a diaper. You know, mom carrying it.
But it's still considered clothed if it has a diaper, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't have any shoes or a shirt.
Yeah, well.
Well, I think, I don't know.
Okay.
I think there's also reasonable expectations.
I'm sorry. I think you can just leave it the way it is, but
reasonably clothed, including shoes and shirt.
How are we going to define reasonably clothed?
Yeah, you'd have to define reasonable.
All right, never mind.
People know it's fully clothed.
There's that one line, any other behavior deemed inappropriate by the library.
So right. That works.
Yeah, that's true.
You're right.
Yeah, if you're not wearing pants, then we can kick you out.
Yeah. I can just see some giggling kid coming in with the shirt and shoes on and nothing in the middle.
That's so funny.
Oh, good Lord.
Page 25. Any individual who engages in prohibited activities may be required to leave library premises. Okay. And then the decision may be appealed to the Board of Trustees at the written request of the patron or his or her guardian within 15 days of the suspension. So one of the things that we've been talking about too, because we're talking about revoking privileges for up to 1 year, up at the discretion of the branch manager and approved by the director. But I guess what we were talking about, we have a problem patron, and we're just saying that we'll just renew this every year, the banning, instead of like
making it a lifetime ban.
Although we do have an older ban in place for a particular patron that is a lifetime ban, and we're considering that grandfathered in. So
however y'all want to handle
I'll
it.
I'll wear shoes, man.
That's perfect, Lisa. So
managers are pretty tough on our patrons.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there any opportunity for that? If someone gets a lifetime ban, that perhaps they change their methods and they can be reviewed. Well, have the ban lifted?
I mean, they can appeal it to the trustees.
And they haven't.
Yeah, and what I find too is we are very hesitant anyway to revoke anybody's privilege. So when we do, that's a big step. And if they've done something to get a lifetime ban, then
it's pretty
they've done something heinous. What we probably fathom or whatever.
If they got a lifetime ban, I'd be like, I'm never.
Well, the first thing I had to ban three little boys, 7 and 9 years old, for 3 months this year. That was rough. Because the 7-year-olds had no idea what they did. Like, they really didn't. The 9-year-old was the ringleader, and he was funny because he's like, oh, I've already told my, I said, you need to go home. And I said, because I contacted your dad. Oh, I've already told my dad all about this. I said, well, then that's really good, because then he's informed before, you know. He didn't tell his dad anything. But I was lucky that their band came up and they came back and then they moved. Because they, oh my gosh, I was going to have to ban them again.
They were crazy specifics.
Oh, yeah, because it's recording. Okay. Yeah. We don't need names.
No, we're taking a short, short snack break so I can clean out the...
Must be a fruit salad. Clogged? Okay.
Okay. So unattended children policy. Oh, that's much better.
But I think we're past the halfway mark.
We are.
We're not that far. We're more than halfway.
Yeah.
And so get your salad, everybody relax.
The coffee is decaf. The only thing I didn't grab was half an ass, but I could go grab that if anybody would like coffee.
Also do a shot of whipped cream in
your coffee. Yeah, I mean, that's also possible.
Do a shot of whipped cream.
Yeah, a shot of whipped cream in your coffee.
Go do it.
See, yeah, I mean, it's not lactose.
Do it.
Orange.
You go for it, girl.
Yes, for sure.
Okay.
The fruit salad looks good, too.
No. It's a little chilly on the edges, but that's okay. It's okay. Delicious. Okay.
Good, you can wait. They're all getting up. You know me, I'm usually going, don't, but
no.
You just relax.
Like, you got to get going here.
Let's do it.
You're doing just fine. In fact, I'm impressed how fast we're going through this.
I know.
And I think a lot of her comments are very, very, very legitimate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think they're good. They're helpful. There's mangoes in the, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know because no, then I would want the whipped cream on it, and I just can't have the whipped cream.
Some of it was pre-sliced.
I just watch you eat it.
Fresh. She cut that up, broke up, and made it all presentable with edible.
Well, it's a healthy one, too.
Healthier than our normal snacks.
See, I'm not a big snack person. At all. I very seldom snack.
This is not a snack. This is fruit.
Well, yeah, but it's a midday. I eat two meals a day, and I don't eat in between.
You are very good person
mm-hmm.
for that.
Mm-hmm. I did that when I worked 12-hour shifts a long time ago.
Did you really?
I had 7 12-hour shifts, and then I was off for a week, and then 7 again. So I woke up and ate, and then I had dinner. That was it.
Yeah, and see, I get up, I don't eat anything in the morning. I eat my lunch, which is normally light, and then I eat dinner between 6 and 7. That's all and it isn't like my house isn't full of crap I shouldn't eat. Everybody keeps giving it to me, and I need to. I got to hand it off.
I've got a 3-year-old and a 13-year-old, and we're always hungry.
So. Oh, just wait. Here, my daughter's son is 15, and he's eating an only child, and eating him out of house.
My oldest is maybe a foot and a half shorter than I am, so she's growing.
I get it. Yep, we can move on, girl.
Okay, unattended children policy. Oh, I love this.
I love the way she did this.
She's added in loco parentis.
Woo-hoo!
To the actual policy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that's totally fine.
Yeah. I think that looks great. And then non-discrimination policy, she's just updating the wording for us.
Yeah.
And
there's a typo, sorry.
Where is it?
Where she added at all times parents or caregivers, whether present and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Neither the library nor its staff. Its
staff, okay. And then she needs to close
the parenthesis
in place of parents.
Yeah. How did that happen?
So I don't know. She's got usually really great detail.
It's probably her paralegal who typed it and she didn't catch it.
Maybe she didn't have a lovely snack like we're having.
Give you brain power.
Yeah.
The fact that it's several thousand words long.
Right. So, okay. Non-discrimination, I think that looks fine to me. Colorado Open Records Law. I thought that the law was one working day.
See, and I thought the law was 7 working days. Isn't that interesting?
I think we're trying to change it.
Provided in the act up to an
additional. I know they're trying to change it. You can ask for 7 working days. If there are extenuating circumstances as provided in the Act, up to an additional 7 working days may be required. Okay. Anyway, she's taking out a lot of information. That's cool. And they're working on the law anyway, so we may have to change this.
So don't they have different fees that apply for it?
We updated this in because it's 4137.
Right.
Yeah. But we should have updated it. I'll have to double check that.
It was June.
Yeah.
2025. I don't know why it's still on the bottom.
Yeah.
I'm looking for copy.
Yeah. That's a little concerning. Records retention. Colorado State Archives Records Retention. Colorado. So we actually, okay, special district, that's fine. So she's just updating the records retention. That's, you were asking about how long we keep HR files. That it's falls under there.
The State Archives.
Yeah.
Okay.
Asset disposal policy, sold, assigned, transferred, or conveyed. And just so she's just updating the disposal.
Is there a dollar limit on disposing items? It's like our books and.
The auditor depreciates them every year. And so after a certain time period, like a book is basically worth nothing.
Right. Okay.
So
like I dispose of those chairs. This is why I'm thinking. I dispose of those old icky chairs. What I did is I took them to the thrift store and I did get a document and I forgot to bring that to you, but I'll bring that to you. So you have a copy that it was disposed of to a nonprofit organization.
Okay.
I didn't think you wanted me to haul them all the way here.
Okay. And then that's, is that everything?
Yeah, I just looked through and read this one last thing.
Okay. That was easy. Okay. That was faster.
Unpainful.
Almost an hour, you guys.
We're a little late, so.
Yeah, we did good.
Cool. So we'll make the changes that we talked about. I think there's one thing I was going to check with the lawyer about.
Oh, she's got your forms here in the back.
The meeting rooms, but we didn't.
Reconsideration of library resources.
She did change the reconsideration of library resources. The second page of that form, she just changed the name.
Okay.
So,
okay. Cool. Well, that would be.
And then I wanted to ask you. I've asked you this before. So it's kind of the old style to do your policies the way we do them, where we have everything in one document. And when we add this new policy that the lawyer just wrote, we'll just put it in the document. Some libraries have each policy separate. And so then you just revise that one policy. And you don't have to revise the whole document at one time. So
whatever y'all think's easiest, don't you think, Ruth?
Yeah, I don't know, because looking at this, there were so many changes
right.
that we still would have ended up revising
everything.
It's like unless we get some settled down and it stops. But the way they keep changing laws and stuff, I don't know.
Okay.
Well, that, and I think it's nice that it is in one document. So then when it comes time to review, you're going through that document from start to finish without missing anything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like, oh, we forgot to look at that one mm-hmm. policy, or by having it. And I think it's very readable too, the way it's done.
The and they recommend, I guess, having a lawyer review it like every 2 or 3 years. I think that's what, isn't that? Because I asked about that at the Cal conference when we spoke with the lawyer.
I don't remember what
they said. Like, to be honest, I think it was like every 2 or 3 years.
So I think it's good to have. I mean,
so
they do a great job, right?
Right.
So
right. Yeah.
Money well spent.
Okay.
Agree.
Great.
Thank you. Do we have to adjourn for study session or not?